Welcome back to Nach Yomi. We are doing a perek a day as we move through Nach. We are up to Yehoshua, perek Yud, the 10th chapter of Sefer Yehoshua. The plot now thickens as Givon has just made a contract with the nation of Israel. They submitted themselves and made a peace contract with Israel. What happens is now the rest of the kings who live around the area say, wait a second, Givon was a very powerful set of cities. How could they, in a certain sense, defect and turn coat on us? So they gather a syndicate of five kings. They gather the kings from some of the familiar cities we know, Yerushalayim, Hebron, Yarmus, Lachish, and Eglon. Those are five strong cities of the Amorites who live on the hills, and they band together to wage war on the defecting Givonites who have turned coat to Israel. And what happens? Naturally, the Givonites turn to Yehoshua and said, help us. So Yehoshua mobilizes his troops from Gilgal, and is about to wage war on those five kings who are attacking the Givonites. This peace accord Yehoshua has brought him into deep waters. But nonetheless, it does work out for him. Hashem says to Yehoshua, this is the right thing to do. Nobody's going to stop in front of you. And they enter into the battle. It is a natural battle. But as the battle ensues, and it starts off as a regular military battle, it starts slowly and turning into a miraculous battle. Because as they're running away, as the enemies are running to the slopes of Beis Choron, there's this incredible storm which breaks out, and Avnei El Gavish, these hailstones start falling upon the enemy from the heavens, and as the Malbim points out, this hailstorm follows the retreating enemy wherever they move. So there's a miraculous aspect about it, even though hail itself isn't necessarily miraculous per se. And the Tanakh testifies that more people, Rabbi Masher Mesu Me Avnei Abarod Me Asher Hargu Bnei Yisrael Becharev, they were more killed by the hail than they were by the sword. That's a very powerful storm we're talking about. Then in the midst of this, Yehoshua says something which is really radical. Yehoshua stops, and as the enemy is running away, he says, Oz Yedabera Yehoshua LaHashem, he turns to Hashem and says, on the day that Hashem gives the Amorites in his hands in front of all of Israel, he says, Shemesh Begivon Dom. Stop, O sun, v'yoreach b'emek ayalon, and let the moon cease to move. And in fact, that is what happened. Yehoshua requests, in a certain sense, an reprieve from the sun continuing to orbit, the moon continuing to orbit, and in fact, Israel's granted that space, and they're able to capture their enemies in that time. Remarkable description. And while this is happening, let's carry on to look at the summary. In the meantime, Yehoshua runs after the enemies, and they capture that he hears news that the five kings who he's pursuing are in a particular cave. So he tells his soldiers to close the cave off, seal it off. In the meantime, he sends the rest of the soldiers to go and pursue the enemies. After capturing the enemies, they return to the caves, bring out the kings. And Yehoshua performs this interesting symbolic ceremony where he tells all his officers to come and he asks them to place their feet on the necks of these kings. And symbolically, metaphorically, he says, as we have conquered these, you will continue to conquer the rest of the kings. And then he kills them and hangs them up till the evening as a sign for the of their success and a sign of Hashem's giving them in their hands. And then they put them back in those caves that they were hiding and close them up as a monument to the success. Then what happens is most of the rest of the perek is describing Yehoshua's ongoing conquest. So now that Yehoshua has the upper hand, the Tanakh tells us how he goes on to conquer Makeda, Livna, then Lachish. Remember, Lachish was one of those cities that was the allies in the syndicate against him. And when attacking Lachish, the neighboring city of Gezer sends a helping aid party, which Yehoshua attacks and destroys Gezer as well. Then they attack Eglon, which is one of the parties, and then Hebron, and then Divra, and describes all these different cities that Yehoshua attacks. And each time it says that he kills the king, kills all the people living there, and destroys the city completely. And at the end of this parak, after the end of this long description of war, the parak concludes with the extent of conquest Yehoshua has succeeded in doing, from the south all the way to the north. It sounds like wide swathes of land which have successfully been able to be conquered, And it concludes with that Ve'ez Kolam Lachim O'Ele Ve'ez Aratzom Lachad Yoshua Pam Echaz. Yoshua managed to conquer them in one shot, which the Radak says that means to say that there was no long sieges, there was no elongated battles. They were successful in fact conquering all of these people very easily. And with that, Yoshua and all of Israel returned to their camp in Gilgal. So this is one successful battle we're talking about, one thing after the next. We're going to have to consider next time how successful this really is. Meaning to say this, you know, was this a majority of Israel? Was this a minority of Israel? How much was really conquered? But a few points to ponder right now. You know, it's funny that the enemies of Israel spent all their energy and time not actually banding together to attack Israel, but to attack those who defected. Isn't that interesting? All these nations, instead of, you know, creating a battle with Yoshua, you spend their energy and expenses against Givon. You know, obviously they wanted to create an example that you don't defect. But the Malim points out that one of the gifts that Hashem gave Israel when they entered the land of Israel was the lack of communication. Meaning if Givon had just sent a letter to their neighboring kings, then they might have banded together to create an even stronger unity and syndicate. If these other kings had spoken to their neighbors, then maybe they could have created a stronger army. But Hashem allowed it to be that everybody was operating on their own rules. So Givon does its own thing, these Melachim go and rose to seek reprisal, then some of the everybody else already wakes up later. So the point is that the coordination over here was Hashem's hand just behind the scenes. When it comes to the miracle of the sun stopping, there's a lot of discussion as to what really happened. The Malbim in his Derech, as we saw beforehand, in his general approach, understands, yes, the sun and moon actually stopped. This was Yoshua was asking for extra time in this particular case. The Ralbag, who moves away, as we saw, from the miracles breaking the rules of nature, says, no. What it just means is that he asked for speed, that he could be able to conquer the enemy before the sun went down, so that he had the ability to use time more effectively. And it seemed like the sun went down slowly because of their ability to be able to capture up to the enemies. So whichever way it is, the question really is why Yoshua did this, meaning, why was Yoshua making this request, either, you know, supernatural or extra natural? Why did Yoshua need to do this? So with this, we'll close. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says on this pasuk a really interesting insight, and that is, whenever anything happens, whenever you have a nation who succeeds, and certainly in these days, people say, it was because they had certain powers, supernatural powers, which were operating for them. They had the sun, they had the moon, they had the, you know, different forces at work which were supporting them. So Yoshua says, look, I want to make sure that everybody understands unequivocally that this battle is fought only by Hashem. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask all the mazalos, all the powers in heaven, all the celestial beings to stop. We're going to win this war under God himself. Everybody's going to see that it's going to be unequivocal. There's no way to look at this ambiguously. And with that's the conclusion of this battle. And Mr. Shemek, tomorrow we will continue as we finish up this section of those kings conquered. Meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.